Hey, it's Matt from CHB. Just reminding you, we're giving away a pair of tickets to see the Canucks and Blue Jackets on March 19th, provided by our friends at Rosedale on Robson. If you want to win, you've got to enter for a chance to take part in our trivia showdown. Two contestants will be randomly selected and will square off on Wednesday night. All you have to do is email us at c4@canuckshockeyblog.com with your name, phone number, and that you'll be available to compete on Wednesday. Hurry up. The deadline is tomorrow at noon.
Brown, a long pass to Pavel Bure, in the clear, right in, yeah, it scores, Pavel Bure.
He will play, you know he'll play, on crutches, he will play.
Burrow steals, cutting in, shoots, scores, they've slayed the dragon.
Now knocked down by Hajcik, the flush back to Bieksa, he shoots, he scores, Kevin Bieksa, the double overtime goal, and the Canucks will play for the Stanley Cup.
From the heart of the Smela Sphere, it's the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Welcome to episode 51 of the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Matt Lee with you here in studio. Joined via phone by Clayton Nemo at Canuck Clay. Clay, how are you doing?
I'm good, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Welcome home.
Thank you. I was in Florida. I did a quick jaunt out to Jacksonville to do a small speaking gig for a church engagement. And I don't know if you saw, I was actually on the plane going from Vancouver to Dallas with the guys from Dude Perfect.
Yeah, when you sent us that picture of these guys, unfortunately, I didn't know who the heck they were.
You know, it's funny. I think there are people in two camps. There are people like you who actually don't know who they are, and there are other people who were just over the moon and jealous that I saw them. And for those of our listeners that don't know, they're basically a group of guys out of Dallas that they make some trick shot videos, whether it's ultimate frisbee or golfing or ping pong or football or basketball. They also do some stereotype videos. You know, just one of those slick YouTube-type channels that have millions of subscribers and I'm sure make a lot of money and do a lot of fun things. But they're gracious guys, really good guys, and they're almost perfect dudes.
So listening to you describe who these guys are all about, I'm curious as to how you found out about them.
Actually, your favorite person, Canucks_Sean. Sean was the one who told me about them. Sean and Jake are...
So he showed you a bunch of these videos that these guys did.
You got it. And they always call me every couple of weeks and say, Dad, you got to check out their new video. And so Sean and Jake, my two sons, are the ones that actually got me in tune and hooked up with these guys.
All right.
How
well,
about you?
Chris,
anything exciting? Yeah.
No, go ahead.
You can say anything.
We don't need to talk about Chris.
No, we can in a sec. But any exciting for you on the weekend?
No, not really. You know, just working, trying to figure out how to manage you two guys over during podcasts and stuff like that. To no avail, of course.
Full-time job.
It basically is a full-time job. Again, not with us today in studio or via phone, Chris Golden at Light Force. He's tied up with a couple of things that he's got to do on his end. He will join us, though, on Wednesday, of course. We're giving away a pair of Canucks tickets, by the way, to see the Blue Jackets on March 19th, provided by our friends at Rosedale on Robson. We'll talk a little bit about it after or before we get into Haiku. And coming up on tonight's podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about the Canucks and Sharks game from Saturday night. Of course, Eddie Lack standing on his head after letting in two quick goals in that first period. We'll talk a little bit about Radim Vrbata's got 25 goals on the season. Bo Horvat's got 10 on the season in his rookie year. Hard not to believe the hype in Bo Horvat. Not in the lineup that night was Ronald Kennens. He was taken out in favor of either Lendon Vay or Brandon McMillan, whichever way you want to sort of look at it. We'll also talk about the final stretch for the Vancouver Canucks. They're heading into the home stretch of the regular season. Playoff chances really starting to hinge on these last couple games here. So we'll talk a little bit about their chances of getting back into the playoffs for the first time in 2 years. All coming up on the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. All right, this is Rewind on the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Clayton, I first want to pick your brain a little bit about the Canucks and Sharks game on Saturday night. I'm not sure if you got it from the TV in Jacksonville, I want to say.
It was Jacksonville, yes, Matt. Actually,
did you get the game?
That's, I guess, the good and bad thing about the East Coast people, the Canucks fans, is the games don't start, obviously, till 10 o'clock Eastern time. So I was able to finish my gig and get back to my hotel. Found one of those streaming sites.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! We don't take part in any illicit activities on the C4 podcast, Clayton.
Well, I found a way to find out about the game, and it was
not illegal.
Not illegal, and it was It was great. Actually, I was very. It was an exciting game. It had a playoff atmosphere.
It really did, didn't it?
Yeah, we had some lack and some luck, and I guess we know that it was an exciting game. But no, it was intense. Some chippy.
Yeah,
you
knew it had that playoff type atmosphere when Yannick Hansen was fighting against Brendan Dillon just 2 minutes into that first period. I mean, Yannick Hansen never went to really fight a guy in a game, but it was that intense. Like both teams knew that this game was very important to them in the standings. That it was one of those big 4-point games. Either the San Jose Sharks were to come within 2 points of the Canucks in the Pacific Division standings, or the Canucks were going to widen their gap to make it a 6-point cushion. Assuming that neither of the games went to an overtime or shootout, by the way.
Right. And it's crazy, man. It's always fun. I think hockey pools have a way of doing that, right? You actually pay attention to more teams than just your favorite, but I think the playoff race obviously has a lot to do with that too. And just to think every single game you're wondering what San Jose is going to do, Calgary, LA, and then the two wildcard teams, Winnipeg and Minnesota. So really, not only are we watching the Canucks, we're watching five other teams to see how they do.
And one thing that we noticed both in this game and the Canucks' last game is that they're getting healthy again, and we're starting to see a lot of healthy bodies return back to the lineup. Chris Tanev also skating now. It looks like he's getting closer to a return. Kevin Bieksa a little further ways down the road, but he's looking like he's getting on the mend as well. So, Clay, moving forward, not even just at this game but past this game, how much does the Canucks getting healthy bode well for them in the stretch drive here?
I think it's vital. And you look at a guy like Alex Edler, he's had a great bounce-back season, given the nightmare he had in Detroit last year. But you notice that he's coming back from an injury, but without Tanev, he's not the same Edler. And we've always talked about how they are a wonderful combo. So I think Chris Tanev, obviously himself, a lot of people are now calling him the glue guy. Just his own merit, he's a very good player. But the fact that he has that effect on Alex Edler, his defense partner, and then the trickle-down effect, right? Everyone bumps down a spot to closer to where they should be playing. So I think the return of Chris Tanev, the inevitable return, I think that's one great indication and one good reason that we should be excited about who's coming back. You know, Bieksa will be, his best days are behind him, I think we'd agree, but he'll still be a solidifying character guy. Brad Richardson will give some depth. So yeah, as these guys come back, the team can only get stronger. How about you? Who do you think they miss the most right now?
I think they really miss Chris Tanev. I mean, essentially, when you take a Chris Tanev out of your lineup, like you said, the words glue guy come to mind, it essentially takes away one of your top pairings. I mean, Alex Edler has been okay on his own, but he doesn't look the same without his quote-unquote babysitter in Chris Tanev. So when you get Chris Tanev back into the lineup for the Vancouver Canucks, you're essentially getting a first pairing back in your lineup. So the importance of Chris Tanev can't be stressed enough, and I'm sure Chris Tanev and his agent are going to be telling that to Jim Benning when the Canucks negotiate a contract extension for him over the off season.
And Matt, you know what, I'm kind of laughing, and I realize that JJ posted a reply on one of our podcasts. Remember near the start of the season, you, me, and Chris were trying to figure out how much would Tanev make or how much would we sign him for?
Yep.
Do you think the numbers we were talking about were a little low, or do you still...
Refresh my memory. What were the numbers we were talking about?
I think we were trying to get him for 3 or 3.5. And then now we've seen contracts to equivalent guys for 4, 4.5, 4.25.
So before the season, we were trying to get him for 3, 3.5?
I think so. But, you know, I stand to be corrected. Maybe I'll go check that out before the next podcast so I know what I'm talking about.
Confidently speaking now, I think that the Canucks are going to look at least paying him 4 to 4.5, possibly even 5, but I doubt it will get there that far.
Right. So even at 4 or 4.5, that seems to be a tiny bit more than what we may have anticipated at the start. But that speaks to how well he's been playing this year.
Yeah, exactly. Getting back to the San Jose Sharks game really quickly, Clay, when the Canucks fell behind in that quick 2-0 hole to the Sharks, was a part of you thinking, oh, this is going to be just like that matchup against the Sharks earlier this week, they're going to fall behind and this game's going to get out of hand pretty quickly? Or did you think that they were going to be resilient or resourceful enough to come back and make it a game?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, I love to say I've had complete confidence that they were going to come back. It's hard to say if they'd win, but at least make a competitive game of it. And they should. They're a professional team. There's enough leaders on that team. But you couldn't help but saying, yeah, at least I felt that, wow, San Jose must really have the Canucks number, at least in the last little bit. But they played really well. I think, as we've talked about or I alluded to, luck had a little bit to do with it, as did lack. And, you know, they just had a gritty, gritty effort. It was exciting, man. And Horvat's second, that second Canucks goal, wow, that was great.
You know who else looked great, Clay? Bo Horvat. And
he did look good.
You know what? I mean, it was a great individual play, especially for him to out-muscle a defenseman as big and as strong as Brent Burns, by the way. And then the sheer wherewithal of Bo Horvat to lift the puck over Antti Niemi, I think that shows the maturity in his actual playing game and that he's actually improved his skating stride over the offseason, or at least over the course of this season, because that was the knock on Bo Horvat when they drafted him, was that, you know, they were questioning whether or not his speed was going to be enough to last in the pro game. A lot of people were making these comparisons to Brendan Gaunce's foot speed.
Oh, you nailed it, Matt. Like, if someone told me at the start of the year that Bo Horvat would outskate Brent Burns, outmuscle Brent Burns to score a goal, an important goal at that, I don't know if I would have believed it, Brent Burns being such a fleet skater and strong player. But yeah, you're right. It shows his maturity and, more importantly, his confidence and just getting more minutes, playing in more situations. He has been a one. I think him and Verbata have been the two really, really nice surprises. And maybe Sean Mathias, those three guys being the bright spots for, at least the surprises for our team this year.
The other thing I want to bring to your attention, Clay, is Bo Horvat has 19 points on the season now.
Yeah.
And he's now 17th among all rookie scorers in the NHL. Quietly, has he done that for the Vancouver Canucks this season? So my next question to you is, Clay,
mm-hmm.
You know, if you consider what Bo Horvat has accomplished in his rookie season with somewhat limited ice time, fourth line roles, and, you know, only recently is he starting to get second unit power play time, assuming that the Canucks let go Brad Richardson over the offseason and Bo Horvat sort of takes over as the third line center, what are your expectations from Bo Horvat moving forward into 2016?
So you said he's got 19 points now?
That's correct.
Yeah, and he missed a few games due to injury. You know, my expectations would be, you're right, he won't be a second-line center yet, especially as long as Nick Bonino's on the team, no matter how productive or unproductive Bonino is. But yeah, so I expect Horvat to be a solid third-line center, even instead of the 12, 13 minutes, he'll be getting 14 to 16 minutes a game. And I expect him to be used in all situations, maybe penalty killing, power play, you know, important face-offs, even strength. And I think a 30 to 40 point, even as a third liner, that seems like a lot, but a 30 to 40 point season, maybe, you know, I think that could be a fair estimate for next year.
All right. The other thing we want to talk about very quickly, Radim Vrbata, 25 goals. We said earlier in the season that he would get at least close to 30. So he's already at 25. He's got about 15 games left to get there. Do you think he's going to get to 30?
Yeah, he'll get to 30 for sure. And isn't it a nice surprise, Matt, that he's doing this without playing on the city line?
Yeah, that hasn't been talked about a little bit enough because, you know, Zach Cassian or Alex Burrows riding shotgun with the Sedins lately, and Radim Vrbata's, you know, he's sort of got Nick Bonino on his line, and I think he's doing pretty well. If you're Willie Desjardins, you're encouraged because now you know that you can have two good scoring lines moving forward here for the stretch run.
Exactly, yeah, and I do acknowledge that Vrbata gets a lot of his points still on the power play, and of course that's when he is playing with the Sedins, for instance. In fact, Daniel assisted on both of Vrbata's goals against San Jose. Yes, yeah, you're right. At even strength, he's still playing well. Bonino actually passing the puck once in a while, and I think it's great. Now Willie Desjardins can go to Vrbata with the Twins. He could go to Cassian with the Twins, and you could argue he could go with Burrows with the Twins. So at least there's three guys now that he could, depending on what he wants to happen with the other lines, that could play with the Sedin brothers.
All right, lots more to talk about, including the Canucks' chances of getting into the postseason as we approach the stretch drive. They're at 65 games played on the season, so 17 left. It's all coming up next on Half Full, Half Empty.
In case some of you wonder who the best is.
This guy's an incompetent fool.
The best of the best of the best, sir!
This guy is an absolute media junkie.
The best of the best of the best, sir! Yeah, with honors.
Don't push me up.
But we just sucked.
Oh, no! We suck again!
I rediscovered just how awesomely awesome my life is.
This isn't rock bottom, I don't know what is.
All right, this is Half Full, Half Empty. Matt Lee with you here. Matt Lee 980 on Twitter, by the way, joined by Canuck Clay Nemo via phone. Clay, I'm going to ask you very quickly, what do you think of the Canucks' chances of getting into the postseason, knowing that the Pacific Division standings are super jam-packed? I'll give you the quick rundown. The Canucks still holding down the second spot in Pacific Division. They're up with 78 points. Calgary closely behind with 77. The Canucks, however, do have a game in hand. There's LA shortly behind them, outside looking in at the playoff picture. They've got 75 points, so 3 points back, but with the same amount of games as Vancouver. San Jose looking like they're pretty much all but done. 72 points, 66 games played. So basically, Clay, the only thing the Canucks have to worry about is not doing any worse than Calgary. So how confident are you that the Canucks can do better than Calgary in the stretch drive here?
Matt, I am very confident. I remember at the start of the season, and I know we have our little goofy fun bets riding on it, I predicted the Canucks would make the playoffs. I'm sticking to it. I'm actually surprised that Calgary is doing well given the loss of Mark Giordano on the blue line. That's his first name, Mark, right? I'm just making sure.
Yeah, it's Mark.
Okay, it just sounded weird when I said it, but I'm surprised how well Calgary's doing, and I'm not sure if they're going to be able to keep that up for the last 16 games of the year, but we'll see. You're right, San Jose's done. If we consider that Minnesota and Winnipeg will take the last two wild card spots, then yeah, there's only three Pacific teams going to make it. Anaheim's a lock. So it's going to be between Vancouver, Calgary, and L.A., and I don't see Vancouver losing to both of those teams. And I would not be surprised if it's L.A. that makes it in third or even second, with Vancouver being the other one, and Calgary is the one that falls out. And you, my friend?
Yeah, I mean, it's looking almost, not quite, but almost a foregone conclusion that the Canucks should at least get either the second or third spot. It would take a pretty big tumble for the Vancouver Canucks to fall out of it. I mean, if we're hinging on two X factors that would make or break their playoff appearance, I would say what would break their playoff appearance is if Eddie Lack can no longer handle the load of being the number one. What will make them get that playoff spot, in my mind, is the return of health of both Kevin Bieksa and Chris Tanev.
Absolutely. That's a really good point. We know that Miller's out basically until the end of the regular season. So you're right, Lack is the man, for better or for worse. Right now it's for better. Unless he's playing a bad team, then it's for worse. And then, yeah, just bumping up our decor so at least we have more than half of them being as NHL regulars, I think that'll be a help for everyone.
I know this is a question for more further down the road, but we talked about a little bit, who would you rather prefer, Calgary or Los Angeles? It seems apparent that it will be one of the two. For you, in your mind, Calgary is the much preferred playoff opponent, correct?
Absolutely. Seven-game series. I would give Vancouver the edge over Calgary, and LA a slight edge, or at least pick them with Vancouver.
So you think if the Canucks played LA in the playoffs, that it could go the distance?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. And yeah. What, you think LA would win or Vancouver would win?
Okay, let me put it this way. If let's assume that Vancouver finishes ahead of the Kings in the standings, so the Vancouver's the 2 seed and LA's the 3 seed, I would say that the Canucks could push them to 7. However, if the roles are reversed and LA has home ice advantage, I would actually venture to say it would be LA in 5.
Wow, so the Canucks wouldn't even get back for that game 6 then?
I don't think so, but that's just me.
Yeah, so that underscores the importance then of finishing in second place and having home ice advantage for that first round then.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
okay, having said that then, Calgary, so you said Vancouver home ice against LA, probably go to 7. LA home ice against Vancouver, LA in 5. What about Vancouver versus Calgary both ways?
I think Vancouver can beat Calgary in 6 both ways.
Yeah, I am with you. I'm with you.
I think it would be a very physical matchup, though. Well, more so than LA, by the way.
Yeah, that's true. I think no matter what, all the teams in the West, except for Vancouver, are really built to be kind of bruising. Well, actually, Chicago's not either, but St. Louis is a bruising-type team. I think Winnipeg's a bruising-type team. So, yeah, there's quite a few that are built like that.
Again, this is another conversation that you and I will have to have in 2 or 3 weeks as the regular season starts to wrap up. But let me pitch to you a hypothetical situation. You talked about how Ryan Miller will be out until at least close to, if not the rest of the regular season. Let's guess that Eddie Lack will take the ball and run with it. He's sort of cemented himself as a really great goaltender for the Canucks in this stretch drive here. Do you even have a question in your mind as to who starts game one of the playoffs for the Vancouver Canucks?
I don't, and I think it's Miller. Unless Lack, there's a couple intangibles. It'll be, in a perfect world, Miller gets into a couple games before the regular season ends, right? I think that's a given. And the other thing is, Lack could be riding a three-game shutout streak. Like, and I'm not being facetious. He could be riding a really hot streak going into the playoffs. But if, you know, the Canucks make it in, they don't back in, but they make it in comfortably in second or third, Lack is doing what he's doing, wins two out of every three games. That's great. I still think you go to Miller. He's making the big money, and people will say, well, it shouldn't be about the money. Yeah, but he's still a proven goalie, and now what Lack's done is he's proven that he's got a very reliable go-to guy as a backup. And if Miller falters, I think it just gives Desjardins more confidence to go to Lack if he has to. But I just don't see how you start Lack over Miller, all things being equal, as long as there's none of the, you know, the crazy, unexpected outliers happening, as I mentioned.
So even in a potential situation where Ryan Miller gets no games in the rest of the regular season and he's just coming off injury, and for game one of the playoffs, you're still going right back to Ryan Miller?
I think if he gets at least one game in, that I could see the Canucks going with him. Would I do that? I'm not sure, but I could see the Canucks doing it for sure.
It's the situation in itself is a little similar to that of 2013 when the Canucks were playing against the Sharks in the first round, and Corey Schneider was lost for pretty much the rest of the regular season after a Chicago game, and the Canucks had a role with Roberto Luongo in game one of the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. And then didn't Schneider only come back for
games
a couple,
three and four, yeah. I want to say.
Yeah, oh yeah, because that was only a one-round series, right?
Yes.
Yeah, unfortunately. You know, all things being equal, unless Lack rattles off 15 straight wins here, I think most people would agree that Luongo is a more capable, seen more competent goalie than Lack, credentials-wise.
For sure.
So, yeah, so, you know, I have confidence in Eddie Lack, and I could see him help. He certainly wouldn't be a detriment in a seven-game series, and I'm very confident in him. He played very well the last 2 weeks, but I just think if Miller, especially if Miller gets one or two games in a year, I think he'll be the guy. You're not so sure?
It's up for debate in my mind. I would feel a lot more comfortable, like you said, getting Ryan Miller some games in before the Canucks get into the postseason. But again, we don't know the situation. He could come back. He might not come back before the end of the regular season.
They might not need him to. That's stupid. I think if he's healthy, they'll want to get him in just from a rep standpoint. But who knows, maybe by the last 2 weeks of the season, things have kind of shaken down where we know the Canucks are going to be second or third.
One more thing that we didn't get to talk about in Rewind that I do want to touch on before we get into the haikus, Clay, is mm-hmm. with the Canucks forwards getting healthier now, Brad Richardson looks like he's getting close to returning to the lineup. Ronald Kennens was scratched on Saturday in favor of either Lyndon Vay or Brandon McMillan. So let's assume that Ronald Kennens stays out of the lineup when Brad Richardson comes back. Who do you take out of the lineup, Lyndon Vay or Brandon McMillan?
I would take out Brandon McMillan.
Well, it's pretty obvious, right?
I don't notice him, do you?
Well, I don't notice him, but then again, I didn't know why the Canucks decided to take Kennens out instead of McMillan.
No, absolutely. Yeah, the smart move would have been, or at least what would make sense to me is to keep Kennens in. And then when Richardson comes back, now you're really deciding between Kennens and Vay, I think we'd agree, right? Like everyone else seems like a solid, if they're playing well, a solid lock for the lineup. So, yeah, you know, McMillan, they put him on waivers at the trade deadline. I haven't noticed him at all, and maybe I got to pay more attention, or maybe he's just not doing anything.
Yeah, you're probably not paying attention.
Okay, the usual then.
let me put it this way. Let's say if the Canucks play the Flames in the first round of the postseason, I would feel confident having Lyndon Vay in the lineup instead of Ronald Kennens. But if the Kings are playing a physical, grind-em-down team like the Kings, I think I would rather have Ronald Kennens in than Lyndon Vay.
Yeah, so I think we know that playoffs, a lot of it has to do with coaching and a lot of it has to do with matchups. And I'd agree with you. Like, we've seen even Vay against San Jose, very, very invisible as well. He couldn't handle the bigger centers. He struggled in the faceoff dot. I think he only won 36%. So 11 minutes of ice time and just not, he got a couple minutes of power play time, but even that kind of, his stars fallen that way. So, we got a couple guys that are a little bit ineffective, so it's great that guys like Horvat and Verbata are stepping up in their place kind of thing.
All right. Well, we're going to talk more about that in a future podcast, but right now we got to talk about the new C4 tickets contest, and we'll also get into some haikus.
Garth, that was a haiku.
Matt, it's that time. Your favorite, okay, not your favorite, but certainly my favorite. This is Haiku Corner, where we channel the power the 575, the best 17-syllable creations. And Matt, as always, instant reaction. I didn't even have to go out and solicit ones for this podcast today, Matt, because they just keep coming in, and these all have to do with our victory over the San Jose Sharks. Brian T. Klein, we know his handle, and he likes the fact that we know his handle. He says, sweet retribution. Lack stood on his head all game. 2 points feel so good. 2 points feel good, Matt?
2 points feels good, but another point or two against the Sharks at home would have been great. But hey, you know what? It doesn't really matter because I think the Sharks are pretty much out of it.
Yes, as we talked about. Jerry, at Jerry Maple, says, Nux give up first goal, complete comeback in the third. Orca bites the shark. So nice use of imagery there with the two amphibians, the fish. I know amphibians. We've seen that a lot over the playoffs. What's an amphibian?
I think the whale is considered a mammal.
Oh, yeah, okay. So that shows that I don't know anything about that kind of stuff, so I'll stick to the high
school. Clay was a failure at biology, everybody.
Orca bites the shark. I like that sushi imagery, though.
Yeah, well, whatever.
We have Adam Segal, or Segal. I don't know which one it is, so sorry, Adam. He is a contributor to the Vancouver Province. His first time giving a haiku, he's at A-D-S-E-E-G-Z, so A-D-Siegs, and he says, lack 38 saves. Team can't and won't score first goal. Never make it easy. Matt, what's up with the Canucks not scoring the first goal? What is that?
I don't know.
Why
I mean, it could be a little bit of mental mentality. The team's got to get their minds right. For whatever reason, they just sort of seem to come out slow out of the gates. So I think that's a problem that Willie Desjardins can't let drag on a little bit longer here, because sooner or later, that's going to bite them in the butt. And it sort of did when they played the Sharks the first time at home.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. You don't want to get down too early, too quick, and it's just too hard to come back.
Exactly.
Lastly, Deborah Burke at DCanuckGirl, G-U-R-L, and this is kind of cool. She was asking me about this haiku thing. She was seeing the madness that was going on, and I encouraged her to try it. I just taught her 575. She was a little timid, but she did one, and it's actually awesome. So here we go. This is Deborah Burke. Eddie's been awesome. Brabada says, I'll score two. Bo says, I'm here too. Kind of cool.
That was actually very good for the first one.
A feel-good story, just to wrap this up. Our friends at Stuck on the Sofa, Shoothie, the male dog, actually took the time to affirm Deborah Burke on Twitter, saying, keep it up, good job, hope you keep contributing. Now that's when you know that haiku is going crazy.
There's a strong support system.
Absolutely. So thank you, Deborah, thank you, Adam, thank you, Jerry, and thank you, Brian, and thank you, Shoothie, for your affirmation, channeling the power of the 575.
All right, before we wrap up this episode of the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com, we want to remind you about the contest we've got going on. On Wednesday night, we're giving away two tickets to see the Canucks and Blue Jackets from Rogers Arena, courtesy of our friends at Rosedale on Robson. Clay, very quickly, how do these people enter the contest?
It's pretty easy. I believe all they need to do is send us an email. What's the address? Isn't it C4 at CH?
It's C4 at CanucksHockeyBlog.com.
Okay, so send us an email at c4@canuckshockeyblog.com. Put your name, put your phone number in, because if you guys win, we need, or at least qualify, we need to be able to phone you. And put anything else you want to put in there about what you like about the podcast. But most importantly, we need your name and your number, because at Tuesday at noon, Matt, Chris, and I are going to draw two names randomly, and those two names will qualify for our much-anticipated trivia challenge. That will happen when, Matt?
Wednesday night, 9 o'clock.
You got it. And what we're going to do, as we mentioned in the last podcast, it won't be like how well do you know the Canucks or how well do you know stats. It'll actually reward you if you are a casual or semi-regular listener of C4. So it could be questions about certain segments, certain personalities, what we like to talk about, who our favorites are, things like that. So we don't expect you, Matt, I believe we don't expect them to go back and listen to all 50 episodes just to prepare for this contest.
No, they don't have to, but they got to know a few casual things about the podcast in itself, and on top of some Canucks knowledge as well.
Good. So we have a few entries already, but we could use more, especially, and just make the sample size and the pot a little bigger. So all you need to do is send us an email, c4@canuckshockeyblog.com. Make sure we have it by Tuesday, 11:59 in the morning, because at noon we are going to be drawing the two winners or the two qualifiers. We are going to tweet those names out and contact you and make sure you're available to take part in a trivia challenge Wednesday night when we do a live recording of our podcast on Wednesday night, March the 11th.
All right, and just before I let you go, Clay, the Vancouver Canucks taking on Ryan Kesler and the Anaheim Ducks tonight from Rogers Arena, another crucial Pacific Division battle, especially because, you know, the Canucks are chasing the Ducks for home ice advantage in the playoff standings.
It is, and
I was joking, by the way. The Canucks are going to catch the Ducks.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to catch them. And, you know, this is Kessler's third time back already, or just his second time?
Who cares?
Okay.
Well, it's somewhere around there.
It kind of speaks to my point. I think the novelty has worn off a little bit. Now it's just a matter of the Canucks playing well against a team they would need to face in the second round if things go as planned, as Anaheim wins their first round, which they may not. But then if the Canucks hope to advance, they're going to have to go through the Ducks in the second round of the playoffs. So you always want to do well. You always want to compete well against the elite team. So a great chance for the Canucks to do so, coming off a solid win against San Jose on the weekend.
All right, that'll do it from us here at the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. A reminder, you can follow us on Twitter at Canucks Hockey, or at MattLee980, or at Canuck Clay, or at Lightforce, for that matter. Follow us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook at the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, or the Canucks Hockey Blog on Facebook as well. We're everywhere, baby. On Wednesday, we're giving away two tickets to see the Canucks and Blue Jackets on March 19th. Don't forget to enter your contest entry at C4@CanucksHockeyBlog.com. On behalf of Clayton Nemo and the absent Chris Golden, I'm Matt Lee, saying we're out.